change your TV and you had to change the dial right on the TV. Now, I'm not that old, but I've heard. Come on. Anybody remembers those days when TV would go off at midnight or 11 o'clock? The national anthem would come through because that was it. Amen. How many people remember the antenna, the hanger, right? Twisting that thing around. And now, this generation doesn't know any of that. They don't even know about, you know, that dial phone, right? Christian, you don't know about that. They've lived in a world where they have remote controls and everything is instant. This is the microwave generation. Now, there's positive things to that. There's some advantages to that. But because of that, we've become a generation that doesn't know how to wait. And great things come when you wait upon God. Prayer is waiting. And because prayer is waiting, this generation does not pray like the former generations. Because somehow this generation believes that waiting, there's something wrong with waiting. This is the generation that will whack their computer if it doesn't move fast enough. Anybody here? If that thing is not downloading quick enough, like, man, get rid of this computer. Now, if you treat prayer that way, you're in trouble. Because prayer is about waiting. So next week, I'm going to teach you how to wait upon God in the presence of God. I'm going to teach you how to wait upon God like a mother who's getting ready to birth a baby. Mothers wait for 9 months, and then they wait. They go to the doctors, and they wait. They're in labor. They're waiting. I've seen my wife push 4 babies. Come on. Prayer is waiting because prayer is birthing. A mother cannot just go into the room and decide, I want to birth this baby today. I'm done. I want to do this right now. Doctor, you can't push unless the contractions come. And we're going to learn how to wait upon God. Amen. And then a week after, we're going to talk about prayer is warfare. Somebody say warfare. I don't mean to scare anybody here, but make no mistake, we're in a battle. Just look around what's happening in our nation today. Look around what's happening in the world today. We're in a battle, but I want you to know that everything that happens in the physical realm already takes place in the spiritual realm. And so if we're going to shift things, we need to learn how to shift things in the spiritual realm to impact the natural realm. Somebody say amen. That's what we're going to talk about. And then fourth Sunday, we're going to talk about prayer is lifestyle. Prayer is lifestyle. Can I give you a tweet? The greatest prayer you can ever pray for this generation is a lifestyle of righteousness. You want to learn spiritual warfare? You want to learn how to bind stuff? Resist the enemy and live a lifestyle of righteousness. That's the greatest prayer you can pray for this generation. That's the greatest prayer you can pray for your kids. That's the greatest prayer you can pray for your family. Let your kids, let your family, let your community watch you live a lifestyle of righteousness. That's the greatest prayer. Somebody say amen. And then on the last Sunday, on the fifth Sunday, we're going to talk about prayer is declaration. Somebody say prayer is declaration. You've got to declare things. You've got to speak things. There's power in your tongue to create life or death. So you've got to speak things. You've got to declare them. People who practice witchcraft and wizardry and all those crazy stuff, they chant and they declare things. When they cast spells on people, they speak stuff. They declare stuff. You got to declare things in the atmosphere and stop the works of the wickedness in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Come on, somebody give me a good amen in this place. It's the first day of the year. Come on, somebody in this place. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen, amen. But today we're talking about fasting. Somebody say fasting. I want to tell you this story that I heard the other day from a preacher friend of mine. There was this young lumberjack. For those of you who don't know, lumberjacks are those guys who cut wood. They earn a living. They have a career from cutting wood and cutting trees. So this young lumberjack started this new job cutting trees. He was young. He had all these muscles. He had an 8-pack. Forget a 6-pack. He had an 8-pack cutting trees. Strong guy. He got on the job and realized that there was an elderly guy on the job who had won all the awards for cutting trees. And this guy was saying, how in the world can this dude in his 70s win all the awards when all the young people are in this job, on this company, and they don't take the awards? And he said, I'm going to change this. I'm going to take that old guy's records. I'm gonna win all the records. I'm gonna be the it factor in this company from now on. So he challenged the old guy. He said, old guy, I want us to do a competition. And we're going to take an entire day cutting trees. And whoever cuts the most trees is going to take all the awards. And the old guy said, hey, man, we can do that. We can do that. And so long story short, the day started and they were cutting trees. And the young guy with the eight-pack is cutting down the trees. He's going for it, man. He's going for it. I'm going to take this. I'm going to win this. And once in a while, he would look over and check in on the old guy. And the old guy was taking breaks. He's sitting down during lunchtime. He's right there sitting down, eating his lunch. And the guy's like, I'm not even taking my lunch break. This is going to be a walk in the park. This is going to be a breeze. I'm winning this thing today. At the end of the day, they did the count. Guess who won? The old guy won. The old guy won. The young guy was like, I can't believe this happened. I can't believe he won. He was taking so many breaks, and I didn't even take a lunch break. What happened? And then the young guy started saying, I think this guy was cheating. He's a cheater. I think he's got all these awards because he's cheating. How many people know when people are trying to challenge you and they don't win because God's favor is in your life? If they see that the hand of God is on your life, the next thing they want to do is destroy your character. How many people know if people can't be like you, they can't attain what you have, the next thing they want to do is simply destroy your character? Controlling people, once they discover that they can't control you anymore, they try to control the way people see you. And so this guy said, man, this guy's cheating. He went about telling everybody in the company, this guy's cheating. Let's do a recount. And they did a recount, and sure enough, the old guy had won. So this time around, he was convicted. He went to the old guy and he said, man, I want to humble myself and I just want to ask you, what's your secret? What's your secret? Can I tell you something here? Can I tell you something? When you see that somebody is doing better than you, somebody's a better father, a better husband, better wife, please don't despise them. Go to them, humble yourself and say, please show me what you're doing. Help me out. Come on, this is going to be a year of humility. Because somebody else has something that you're looking for. Somebody has already been to the place that you're trying to get to. And you can humble yourself and receive the anointing that they have if you humble yourself. So the old guy said, hey, I'm going to give you my secret. Here's the secret. When you saw me take those breaks, I wasn't just sitting down. I was sharpening my axe. And he said, the secret to the battle, the secret to winning, the secret to this thing is you have to sharpen your axe, not once, not twice, but over and over and over. I want to say something to you today. I want you to know, here's a tweet. I want you to know that fasting and prayer is the chisel that sharpens your spiritual life. Fasting and prayer is the chisel that sharpens your spiritual life. You cannot get through this life with just speed and talent. Like this young guy, I'm going to beat this dude. I'm strong. I can get this done. And that's what some of us are doing. Let me tell you this. The race is not for the swift, my friends. This has been the difference maker in my life. This is the one thing I love to do. This is the one thing your pastor loves to do. I've lived a life of fasting and prayer. You're going to see a distinction in your life when you begin to wait upon God. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. So I release the grace for fasting in this place. You've got to stop and sharpen your axe. Got to stop. Don't just run and run and run. And I pray you can be a part of this fasting today. It's not about the talent. It's not just about the degrees. Thank God for the degrees. Thank God for the education. But you need something. You need the hand of God to be a part of what you're doing. Some of you are thinking, in 2017, I need to do more. What can I do? What can I do? I need to do more so I can get ahead. No, what you need to be saying is, God, I need to fast and pray. I need to wait upon you. Because when you begin to wait upon God, God will do more with the little that you have. You don't have to do anymore. God's just going to maximize the little that you have. Hallelujah. And here's what happens. You begin to get more for little instead of doing so much more and getting little for doing more. That's what most of us are doing. That's why we're tired. We're weary because we wake up in the morning. What can I do? What can I do? We're pursuing and pursuing, strategizing. Nothing wrong with strategies and all that. But I'll tell you this, you will go a long way if you just put a little oil in the tank. And fasting and prayer would do just that for you. Somebody shout hallelujah. So today I want to give you four things, four reasons why you should fast. Turn to your neighbor and tell them four reasons why you should fast. Four reasons why you should fast. But before I even go there, I want to make a few points about fasting. I want you to know that you can enjoy fasting and prayer. You can enjoy fasting and prayer. I mean, some of us grew up in those old churches where they used to beat you down. If you don't fast, the devil's in you. If you don't fast, so you always fast because of fear. I want you to know you can enjoy fasting and prayer. You can enjoy fasting and prayer just like those people who go to the gym enjoy working out. It's hard work. They're lifting heavy stuff, but they enjoy it because there's great benefits. You can enjoy it if you know how to do it well and if somebody coaches you. That's exactly what I'm going to do in the next 5 weekends. Amen. We're going to coach you and train you on how to pray. Somebody say amen. And number two, I want you to know that fasting is not just for a select few people. Amen. Fasting is not for the weirdos in the church. Amen. Some of us grew up in churches where the only mothers who fasted, they were weird. There were those people who saw angels every week. You were like, you see an angel every Tuesday? Is it a real angel? Are you serious? Is it a real angel? Is it Elvis Presley in your dreams? But fasting is not for weird people. Fasting is for normal people. The Bible says Queen Esther fasted. They used to take months to beautify Queen Esther. She was royalty. But the Bible said she fasted and prayed. Anybody who needs a miracle from God, anybody who needs to speak to God needs to fast. Turn to your neighbor and tell them fasting is for you. Hallelujah. Fasting is for you. Then I want you to know that prayer life grows. Some of you are saying, Pastor, I'm not much of a prayer warrior. Matter of fact, I don't know what a prayer warrior is. What's a prayer warrior? Is it some Zulu warrior? Well, what's that stuff? No. It's just somebody who waits upon God and prays because prayer is warfare. Prayer life grows. This is for you. If you've not engaged in much prayer, this is for you. You can begin. You can take baby steps. You can fast something. Maybe you can start by fasting Facebook. Come on, somebody. Fasting social media for the next 21 days. You can start somewhere. You can fast negative thoughts and begin to pray. You can start somewhere. Amen. Here's another point. You can do it your own way. You can do it in your own way. Some of us people taught us for you to be powerful in prayer, you have to pray in the nighttime. You have to do it in the morning. You have to do it this way. No, you can do it your own way. You can take walks out in the woods and just make sure you're careful out there. But you can take walks and pray. You can play some worship music and just listen to God. You can do it your own way. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you can do it your own way. Few points here. Then the other one, I want you to know that fasting and prayer has health benefits. It has health benefits. Even medical doctors prescribe fasting and prayer to people. Prescribe fasting, not so much prayer, but fasting to people. They need to add prayer to that. So if anything, you're going to get some health benefits in this. You can do this. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, tell them you can do it. But real quickly here, let's go to the Word of God. You guys ready for the Word of God? Number one, fasting brings direction. Don't ever make a major life decision without fasting and praying. The Bible says in the book of Ezra, chapter 8, verse 21 and 23. Ezra 21 and 23. We're going to read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Therefore, keep that scripture right there. To seek him the right way for us and our little ones. That's direction. They said, we're going to seek God. We're going to fast and pray and seek God for the right way for us and our little ones. We're going to ask God and seek God for direction. Somebody say direction. One more time, say direction. Prayer and fasting gives you direction and strategy. Don't ever make a life decision, a major life decision, without prayer and fasting. This is what most people do. They just experiment with their life. One day you wake up and everybody's doing computers in school and you decide to do computers. And then in your mid-20s, you decide, let me try another major. Everybody's doing nursing, so I'm going to try out nursing. Everybody's becoming doctor, so I'm going to try that. I'm going to try this. And before you realize, you've been experimenting with your life and you've lost some precious time. I pray that you seek God before you make a major life decision. So I declare in the name of Jesus that in this next 21 days of fasting and prayer, that God is going to give you clear direction on what you should be doing. Somebody say amen. Create clear direction of where you should work. Clear direction of what city you should live in. Somebody say amen. Young people, begin to fast and pray. I pray in the name of Jesus that in the next 21 days, God is going to give you clear direction on whom you should marry. Somebody say amen to that. Where you should be, the stuff you should be doing, how you should engage in this church, how you should serve. You should seek God. Matter of fact, don't write your New Year's resolution yet until in the middle of this fasting. Because everything you're going to write now is just going to be from your brain. And you know that stuff never works. It's never worked before because it has to come from the Spirit of God. You need to seek God. Before my wife and I started this church, we began to fast and pray. I've got a cute wife, man. She's gorgeous. She's amazing. She's pretty. She's awesome. But she's not just some pretty girl. She knows how to fast and pray. Amen. I was looking for a girl who knows how to shake heavens with her prayer, who knows how to wait upon the Lord. Come on, somebody. When the kids are sick, somebody who can know how to bind the devil. Come on and choke him and break him. I was looking for a woman who knew how to pray. Come on, somebody. So we began to pray and fast, and God led us to planting this church, to where we should plant this church, all the way to the people who should be on our team, our launch team. God led us. There's some people God taught us to move, and we did that. It was tough. Some of them were close friends. And God said, no, not this one, but this one, this one, but this one, this. And we obeyed God all the step of the way. Every step of the way, we obeyed God. And the things that God is doing in this church is because of hearing God. You're sitting in that place today because of the benefit of fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer brings direction. Come on, let's clap and celebrate Jesus together. Brings direction. Brings direction. Here's the other thing people do. They run around asking advice for them from their auntie and this one and that. Nothing wrong with that. Just ask advice from wise people. Please don't learn how to swim from drowning men. That's what most of us do. We're trying to learn how to swim from drowning men. But even after wise people advise you, you need to go to fasting and prayer so God can tell you which way is the right way in Jesus' name. I declare that God's going to give you direction this year in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen and amen. Hallelujah. Number two, fasting brings personal and corporate revival. Fasting brings personal and corporate revival. Listen, when I came from Africa back in 1998, I was on fire. I came from doing Reinhard Bonnke Crusades. I was on crusades with hundreds of thousands of people, literally 500,000 people in open fields, great revivals of Africa. I was praying for people. Man, all kinds of miracles, great stuff. And I was in church on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, no joke. I was in church every day serving God. And I came to America, came to Boston, and I saw a magazine, I saw California, and I watched Beverly Hills Cop, Eddie Murphy. So I said, that's where I'm going, right there. I thought America was Beverly Hills. I showed up in Boston. It looked nothing like Beverly Hills. Place was cold. No fire, no revival. I went downtown to try and witness to somebody. I said, man, do you know Jesus? This guy said, Jesus, does he live in Chelsea? I was like, man, this place needs help. This place needs Jesus. I gave up. I was like, I'm going home to sleep. This place needs help. Jesus, not Jesus. Come on. I mean, Jesus, yeah, but Jesus, the real Jesus. Not the one who lives in Chelsea. But my... Listen, when I came out of that place, I came into America, never backslid, but I lost my prayer life for 3 years. Never backslid, I just lost my prayer life for 3 years. Listen, I had a cell phone on this side, you know, and I had a pager on the other side. I went to watch movies every Fridays. Lord, Shokan Cinemas. I was there every Friday. I had a little hookup. She used to let me in there. I didn't pay the ticket, so I used to watch movies there every Friday. Hang out at the Pheasant Lane Mall in Nashua after work every single day. Lost my prayer life. I grew up in a country where there's like 3 TV channels, right? I showed up and there was hundreds of channels. And I found this preacher, powerful preacher called Jerry Springer, and I used to watch him every day. I was watching this powerful apostle. I thought he was a preacher. He looked like a preacher. He got hair like a preacher, glasses like a preacher. And I lost my prayer life. I wasn't backslidden, and thank God I never got to that place, but I lost my prayer life. But I remember the day when God started drawing me back into a place of fasting and prayer. God just began to draw me. And that's what I'm praying that God's going to do with you today, is that he'll begin to draw you into a place of fasting and prayer. This time around, it wasn't anybody forcing me to do it. God just began to draw me. He began to give me an appetite for his presence. That's what I'm praying for right now. Who gives the cravings to a pregnant woman to crave for cheesecake at 3:00 in the morning? Come on, somebody. The same God can give you cravings for his presence. Come on, lift up your hands and say, God, give me cravings for your presence. Give me cravings for your presence. Give me a desire for your presence. To desire and hunger for you more than anything else in this world. Somebody shout hallelujah. And I began to fast and pray. I began to seek God. That revival came back into my soul. It was a revival. I was awakened by the Spirit of God. There are people in this place, you used to be on fire for God. Truth be told, you're not where you used to be. You need to take part in this fasting. Let God revive you again. Come on, somebody in this place. Let God sensitize your heart again for his presence. Can I give you a tweet? Fasting subdues worldly desires and awakens hunger and appetite for God. We're going to hunger for God again. Statistics say that 60% of people in America don't claim any affiliation to any church in America. This nation was founded on the foundations of Judeo-Christianity. The founding fathers of this nation committed this nation to God. There was a day people would go to church. There was a day there was revivals in New England. Harvard was started to train preachers. Now these places have become centers that are releasing humanism. And these places are called, you go into any neighborhood in these areas in New England, you find those beautiful antique churches. Anybody seen those? Some of you live next to those places. All those churches were built because the churches were growing so much, they didn't have places to put people. They built all those buildings, and the church was flourishing, and the church had finances, and they were building church after church and sending preachers. And now those places have been reduced to a place where grandmothers just play bingo on a Thursday night. We need Jesus again. Come on, somebody. We need Jesus again. Prayer brings personal revival. Somebody lift up your hand and say, revive me again, Lord. Come on, say, revive me again, Lord. And why does that happen? Because fasting and prayer is a posture of humility. God says he responds to humility. He despises pride, but he responds to humility. When you fast and pray, God comes to you. God comes your way because it's a posture of humility. I pray that you take part in this fasting. Amen. We're believing God for new things in this church. Come on, somebody. We're believing God that at the end of this 21 days of prayer, there's going to be a shift in this place. God will begin to do some great things. There's been some great things that have happened in this place. Our church is just over a year. We average in this place on a regular Sunday over 300 people. We are serving over 600 people in a year, but we're believing for even greater. Come on, somebody. We're believing that people will come into this place and be healed of their bodies, that they'll be deployed and they'll bring them into this place. When doctors have said there's nothing for you, that they'll bring them into this place to be impacted by the love of an almighty Jehovah. I want every prayer warrior in this place to shout hallelujah. We're going to pray for a shift in this place. Number 3, fasting and prayer brings deliverance. Deliverance from bondages. Fasting and prayer brings deliverance from bondages. Mark chapter 9, verse 28. Mark chapter 9, verse 28. We're going to read this together. Mark chapter 9, verse 28. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, go. keep that scripture there. So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but what? Nothing but what? This is the scripture that I read when I began to fast and pray. When I came to America, I used to hang around a group of people that would somehow ridicule fasting. They used to say, Zenzo, it doesn't take all that. You fast too much. You fast too much, young dude. It doesn't, just read the Bible, worship a little bit, and then party with us. You fast way too much. But I read the scripture, and it was clear that there's some things that will not go unless you fast and pray. There's some things that will not move in your life unless you fast and pray. In this scripture, the disciples were trying to cast out a devil, a demon, and the demon did not leave. And they cried out to Jesus, Jesus, help us out. We can't cast this devil out. And Jesus came and cast the devil. And they were asking Jesus, listen, why couldn't we cast out this demon? And Jesus said to them, this thing can come out by nothing but fasting and prayer. I want you to know that they're stubborn spirits. They're territorial spirits. They are strongholds in our lives that will not go unless you fast and pray. They are addictions that will not go unless you fast and pray. The other Sunday, I was talking about besetting sins. I was talking about sins that easily ensnare us. Sins that easily ensnare us. And I was asking you, what's your thing? What's your thing? What's that thing that easily gets you down? What's that thing that just gets you to fall? What's your thing? Ask your neighbor one more time. What's your thing? What's your thing? What is your thing? Look them straight in the eye and say, what's your thing? What's your thing? Come on. What's your thing? And I was saying this. I was saying for some people, it's a blonde girl. They see a blonde girl and they just lose it. They lose their mind. For some people, it's a sister. They see a sister with curves and they forget everything about the Bible. For some people, it's cigarettes. For some people, it's anger. When you get upset, when you get angry, even the angels stop singing in heaven. Because your anger, you fume, you get angry. Get angry. It's lights out when you get angry. Listen, my wife used to be that way. She is cute and pretty. She got delivered because of fasting and prayer. She used to have a terrible temper, a terrible Italian temper in there. I literally used to keep some shoes by the side of the door because when she would get upset, I'd have to run outside. Literally, she's thrown anything and everything to me. I used to run out, just run out. But Bobby, true story, you ask my wife, one day she was in one of those episodes. She got so angry. She's screaming, blood coming out of her nose. And she charged at me in the hallway and I didn't have time to run. So this time I wasn't going to run. I just grabbed her and began to pray. I say, you spirit of anger, I cast you out in the name of Jesus. That girl fell to the ground. All of a sudden, peace, peace, peace on her eyes. And she looked beautiful. She said, honey, I'm so sorry. I said, it's okay, I love you. I kissed her and took her and some other things in Jesus' name. But she was delivered. Amen. Come on, somebody give Jesus praise for deliverance. What are you guys laughing about? I'm talking about deliverance. I'm talking about fasting and prayer. Somebody shout hallelujah. But she was delivered. It was a sin that would easily ensnare her because she didn't want to do this. See, that's the thing. The sin that easily ensnares you is something you don't want to do. You don't want to do it. But somehow as a Christian, that thing has a grip on you. Just has a grip on you. Has a grip on you. You don't want to do it. You're not happy when you do it. You're not that person who's a heathen. You curse at God and you just willingly are rebellious. No, you love God. You want to honor God. But there's this sin that easily ensnares you. For some of us, it's people. That thing's got a grip on you. It's a spirit. You know that boyfriend is bad. You know you should break up with him. You tell yourself, I'm going to break up with him. I'm going to break up with him. I'm going to break up with him. But you have a soul tie with him. I'm going to break up with him. And then you show up there, honey, I got something to tell you. I need to talk to you about something. And the guy says, hey, hon, what do you want to talk about? Ah, forget about it. Forget about it. You've got a weakness. There's a soul tie. I pray you begin to fast and pray in this next 21 days. And I declare that as you fast and pray, God is going to break bondages in the name of Jesus. Addictions in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. I want to give you a list of some things that are besetting saints. For some people, it's cigarettes. For some, it's looking at the wrong stuff on the computer in the night. For some, it's lust, adultery, lying, swearing. There's some believers in this place. You love God, but still dropping those F-bombs. When you get upset, it's just bleep, bleep, F-bombs all over the place. And that F-bomb is not favor. Something else. God needs to deliver you. Come on, somebody. Because you've got to be a witness to the people in your life. You've got to be a witness to your kids. Come on, somebody. For some people, it's swearing. For some people, it's stealing. For some people, it's gossip. This is the one thing that I don't tolerate in the house of God, because it's destroyed church. It's destroyed traditional church. Come on, somebody. If somebody comes to you to gossip, just know that that's the greatest indication of lack of integrity. And if they're gossiping with you about somebody else, they'll do it with you. Somebody needs to rise up and be a true believer and tell them, you know what? You are weak. If you're going to be talking about somebody behind their back, why don't you go face them and do what the Bible says? Somebody shout hallelujah. Besetting sins. For some people, it's anger. For some people, it's overeating. Those honey buns, 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm just going to eat one more. I mean, you've got Twix bars under your pillow. You got Twix bars, you know, in your cabinet, you know, in your dashboard. There's Snickers bars everywhere. I mean, you got Snickers bars everywhere. That purse is, man, you could feed kids in Africa with your purse. And you just eat. That's your thing. Come on, God can deliver you. Come on, somebody. God can set you free. For some people, sinful thoughts, soul ties, depression, and mood swings. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Some of you, one day, one moment you're happy. The next moment, man, you don't know what happened to them. Mood swings, up and down, up and down. I'm praying that in the next 21 days, God will set you free from that depression. Hallelujah. I want you to know something. This could be a tweet. It could be. But as a believer, your depression and your mood swings, they tell a wrong story. They give a wrong report to the world about Jesus. If you say you are saved and people are seeing you depressed all the time and moody all the time in your job, that's a bad testimony. And I'm not saying everything is going to be okay all the time. But come on, somebody. Jesus is joy inside of us. His life inside of us. I was telling you the other Sunday, I go through what everybody goes through, man. I'm from Africa, y'all. Sometimes I get phone calls back from home in the village, phone calls that will depress you. But I refuse to give the devil an upper hand. Come on, somebody. Because the world has to see believers that are alive and well. Always depressed, always sad. Let me tell you this. If you're always depressed and always sad, there's a stronghold in your life. I dare you to fast and pray and resist that spirit out of your life in the name of Jesus. If you're always sad, over and over and over, perpetual thoughts of sadness. Suicide, I declare in the name of Jesus that suicide is broken in the name of Jesus. I declare that in the next 21 days as we fast, that suicide is going to be broken in the name of Jesus. Stand if you can. Hallelujah. For some people, sickness in the name of Jesus. Here's what's going to happen in the next 21 days of fasting and prayer. There's some people, you come from families. You come from families that have high blood pressure and sugar diabetes. And there's a disease in your family that's always there. I'll tell you this. When I began to fast and pray, I've never had high blood pressure in my life. My grandfather had high blood pressure. Both my mother and father struggled with high blood pressure. My kid brother had high blood pressure at 27 years old. I've never had a day with high blood pressure. I believe it's because of waiting upon God. There are bondages that are broken when you wait upon God in the name of Jesus. Some of you believe you come from families that are experiencing with something. All the girls get pregnant before their time, and we just have sugar diabetes. This is just our thing. High blood pressure is just our thing. Please don't accept it. It's not your thing. It's from the pit of hell, and we send it back from where it comes from today in the name of Jesus. And I'm believing that as we fast and pray, that there's going to be healing and a breaking of bondages in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Poverty. We break poverty in the name of Jesus. It's a spirit. I know it. It's a spirit. I went through a season in my life. Everything was breaking. Everything just going wrong. Everything. I got to eat somewhere at a restaurant. I dropped my plate. Food, everything dropping. That's a spirit of poverty. And I pray as we fast and pray that God is going to break that. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verse 6, is this not the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Somebody say amen. I'll give you the last one here as we stand. The last one is favor. Somebody say favor. Favor. Fasting releases favor. Fasting releases favor. It's the difference maker. When we were believing God for this church, we began to fast and pray and cry out to God. And my wife and I were walking away from a salary. I said, God, how am I going to feed these four kids? I'm just going to tell you this. For the last 2 years, my entire salary has been paid for. For the year of 2015. Come on, you can put your hands together and celebrate Jesus. For the year 2015. For the year 2016. We've been able to do this well and preach the gospel here because God has made a way. Come on, fasting brings favor. Fasting brings favor. And I declare that the favor of God is going to be on you in this year 2017 in the name of Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Let's sing Open Heaven. We worship you, Jesus. We give you praise. Every eye closed in this place. Father, we thank you for your presence in this room. We give you praise in this room. We give you praise in this room, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We worship you, God. God, give your people grace to wait upon you in fasting and prayer. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that as we fast and pray, oh God, that you're going to give us direction in Jesus' name. And I pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that as we fast and pray, there's going to be personal revival in Jesus' name. Those whose hearts have grown cold, you're going to give them a new revival, a fresh anointing. And those that are on fire, you're going to take them to the next level. Next level, oh God. You're going to touch us afresh. Father, I pray for those that are struggling with bondages, there's going to be a breaking of bondages in Jesus' name as we fast and pray. That anger is going in the name of Jesus. That spirit of poverty is going in the name of Jesus. That depression is going in the name of Jesus. That spirit of suicide is going in the name of Jesus. That sickness is going in the name of Jesus. We curse high blood pressure in the name of Jesus. Sugar diabetes, we serve you. Notice, in the name of Jesus, never again on God's people, in Jesus' name, we declare God direction. Father, give your people new ideas, new direction, new ideas, new careers, new businesses, witty ideas in the name of Jesus. God ideas in the name of Jesus. We declare it now in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen.
Atmosphere is changed.